I'm curious, how many of you folks in here that know the Lord, how many of you got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? Anybody like that? I didn't. Some, just a very few. That's typical. And the reason that I asked that question is I want to remind all of us about how merciful God is. God could just give us one shot and say, that's it, you're done. But His grace and His mercy are so incredible that He gives us chance after chance after chance after chance. I want to preach to you tonight about God giving second chances. Open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter number 3. It's an amazing story if you know the story of Jonah. Here's a man of God called to be a prophet. He's up till this point, as far as we know, in the will of God, but he turns into a rebel. God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nineveh, at this point in history, was the largest city, not just population, but the geographical location took more square miles than any city in the world. And he said, Jonah, in 40 days, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. I want you to go there and preach. And Jonah essentially said, I don't care if you destroy them in 4 hours, I'm not going. And the Bible tells us that Jonah rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now, think about that. Where are you going to go to run from God? You know how the little kids play peekaboo? They cover their eyes, say, you can't see me. That's Jonah. Where are you going to go? Well, you know the story. He got on board ship and went down below and he fell asleep. And God sent a great storm. The purpose of the storm was to get Jonah's attention. By the way, if you're running from God, He will get your attention. And it wasn't a normal storm. These were sailors. They were used to storms that came up on the sea. But this storm was so intense that ship is tossed to and fro. The waves are crashing. And the sailors got frightened. They said, man, this ship's going to be torn to pieces. We're gonna drown. They started throwing their cargo overboard, hoping to lighten the weight of the ship. But none of that was helpful, and they all got religious. Isn't it amazing how people who have no use for God, when they get really, really scared, they get religious? And they all started praying, and they wanted to make sure that everybody's involved. And they look around, and Jonah's not there, and somebody comes, and they find him sound asleep. You know, there's another point there. A lot of times, people that cause the problem don't even know that they're the problem. Sound asleep. And a guy grabs him and shakes him and says, hey, wake up. Man, there's a terrible storm. Somebody has upset God. And Jonah says, oh, hell yeah, that'd be me. So what are you talking about? Well, God wanted me to go to Nineveh and preach. I don't even like those people, so I got on board this ship. And they said, well, what are you thinking? You put us all in jeopardy. We're all going to die. They said, what should we do? If I'm Jonah, I'm going to say, well, turn the ship around, and I guess I'll go. But that's not what Jonah said. Jonah said, well, just throw me overboard. Now think about that. You and I, we know the story of Jonah and the whale, right? Yeah, Jonah didn't know that story.
Right. Yeah,
here's what Jonah's saying. Jonah's saying, I'd rather drown than obey God. I'd rather die than do what God wants me to do. Well, they didn't want to, but they didn't have any choice. But rather than all of them die, they figured we'd get rid of this backslidden preacher. And they threw him overboard. You know the story. God created a great fish. Jesus called it a whale and swallowed Jonah. And Jonah is in the belly of the whale. And he's not getting out till things change. But in chapter 2, we find out that Jonah says, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. When I got to the end of my rope, when I got to the place where I recognize I'm not in control anymore, then I remembered the Lord. And he prayed and he said, God, I'll do what you told me to do. And that brings us to Jonah chapter 3. If you're able to, stand with me, please. And the Bible says in verse number 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. Heavenly Father, I thank you for a second chance. I thank you, God, that your mercies are new every morning. I thank you, Lord, that you don't give up on us when others would. Lord, I pray tonight the message would be a help and an encouragement. And God, I pray that you would use this to challenge and to change us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Here's a man that had a wonderful privilege. He was called, appointed by God to be a prophet. He was God's man for that time. There was a great need. Nineveh, the greatest city in all the world, had need of hearing from God. And the Lord said, Jonah, you're the man. And Jonah said, no, sir. No, sir. And because of his rebellion, he finds himself in the belly of the whale. And when he prays, understand this, you and I know the story. Jonah didn't know the whale's going to spit him out. He's just thinking, you know, I may die right here, but if I die, I'd like to be right with God. I may never get out of the belly of this whale, and if I end up being digested, I'd like to be right with God. And so he makes things right with God, and God commands the whale to come and spit Jonah out. Can you imagine how nasty that man smelled? It'd be like living in a sardine can for 3 days. Just nasty. Now, recognize he didn't have a change of clothes. Whatever luggage he might have had was still on that ship. Jonah's wearing whatever he was wearing, and he stinks. And God said, Jonah, I've got a job for you. Yes, sir. And he arose and he went to Nineveh and he preached exactly what God told him to preach. You know, when we tell the story, we say Jonah and the whale. But if you look at the book of Jonah, you'll find out that the story is about Jonah and the revival. Man, what a revival, if you want to call it that, took place. Jonah said, yep, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And the king heard him, and the king said, wow, we're in trouble. And he declared a fast. He said, we're going to pray, we're going to fast, nobody's going to eat, nobody's going to drink. We are going to get right with God. In fact, he took the fast so far, he said, we're not going to feed our animals. The dogs, the cats, I don't know why they don't a cat anyway, but all the horses, the cattle, none of the livestock, we are going to fast. Who knows if maybe God might change his mind? And you know the story, God did change his mind. And Nineveh was saved, that great city, they all, because of the leadership of the king, because the prophet got right with God, they all turned to the Lord, and God spared that city. But what I want to remind you of is Jonah got another chance. There are times when people who ought to be involved in serving God, determine that I know better than what the Lord knows. There are times when there are folks who are involved in the ministry and they decide to give up. There are times when people have a responsibility and they don't want to do it and they just quit on it. And God is always there saying, come on home. Come on home. Come on home. Sometimes we feel like, you know, I've gone too far. I've done too much. It's possible, even when you're living for God, to make bad choices. Remember David? David, as a young man, he killed Goliath. David, whom God gave the privilege of writing over half the Psalms. David, who became the king of Israel, ruled Israel for years, and God blessed him. Then we get to 2 Samuel 11. The Bible says it was a time when kings went forth to battle, but David tarried still in Jerusalem. It's wartime. And as leader of the people, David's supposed to be with the army, but he stayed home. Don't know if he was tired. Don't know if he just had enough wars and he's going to let somebody else do it. Don't know why he did it. Just know that he should have been in battle, but he wasn't. One night, while his army's off fighting in the war, David walks out on the roof and he looks across the way. And you know the story. He sees Bathsheba. And he says, hey, who's that? And they said, well, that's Bathsheba. She's the wife of Uriah, one of your soldiers. And David said, And he takes Bathsheba. He's immoral. This is the man after God's own heart. This is the guy that God chose to be the king because of the wickedness of Saul. And now he has committed adultery. She comes to him not long after and says, we got a problem. My husband's off fighting the battle and I'm expecting a child. David says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. So he sends for Uriah to come home. And Uriah comes back to Jerusalem. David's plan is he goes home and everyone thinks everything's good. But Uriah said, I'm not going home. All of my fellow soldiers are in tents. They're out on the battlefield. I am not going to be as if it wasn't wartime. And so David says to Uriah, I got this note I want you to give to the general. And he gives the note to the general, to Joab. Joab reads it and it says, put Uriah on the front lines, have everybody else retreat and leave Uriah there. Well, obviously, he's trying to kill the man. And so that's exactly what happened. Uriah's on the front lines, all the soldiers retreat, and Uriah is killed. Word comes back that Uriah's dead. David says to Bathsheba, let's just get married and nobody will know. And so they did. And nobody knew. Except God. Except God. And God told Nathan the prophet, says, I got a message for you to give to the king. So Nathan comes to the king and he says, boy, we got trouble in our kingdom. You've got a rich man that lives next to a poor man. The rich man has multiple herds and flocks, lots of sheep. The poor man has one little lamb. Well, the rich man had some company and he took the poor man's lamb and butchered that and gave that to his company. And David said, that's terrible. That's horrible. That man ought to be put to death. Who is it? Nathan said, you, thou art the... And immediately David's heart is convicted. You say, how do you know that? 51st Psalm. David cries out to God. He realizes what he'd done. He's guilty of adultery. He's guilty of murder. He's guilty of covetousness. And he cries out to God and he says, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Well, he'd sinned against Uriah. He'd sinned against Bathsheba. He'd sinned against his general. He'd sinned against all the people that he had deceived. And yet in his heart, more than anything magnified way beyond any wrong, he'd sinned against God. And he says, wash me throughly. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And he begs God, he says, cleanse me and wash me. You know, there's a verse in the Bible in 1 John that says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now understand, when Nathan told David, David said, that man ought to die. And rightfully he should have, but David was a child of the God of the second chance. Now the stain of his sin was never washed away. If I were to say, finish this, David and blank, you would either say David and Goliath or David and Bathsheba. Millennia later, we still are reminded of his sin, but you know, God still gave David an opportunity. God still blessed David. God still used David. What I'm trying to tell you is whatever you've done, it doesn't mean that you can't serve God anymore. However you have messed up your life, and I don't think there's a person in here over the age of five who hasn't done something to mess up. Right. But God says, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. There's a story Jesus told in Luke 15 about a man that had two sons. And the younger came to his father and he said, Dad, can I have my inheritance? Well, it's a little morbid because you get the inheritance after Dad dies. But Dad's still alive. And he goes, well, why? He says, well, I'm just tired of the rules around this place. I'm tired of being told what to do, when to get up, when to go to bed. I'm tired of being told about my chores. I'm tired of you and Mom just controlling my life. I would just like to be in charge of my life. I don't know why he did it, but Dad gave him his inheritance. And the Bible says he went into a far country, far, far away from the way he was raised, far away from what he knew was right, far away from the people who prayed for him, far away from anybody who would know how he was supposed to live. And there, the Bible says he wasted his substance with riotous living, got involved in immorality, got involved in alcohol, got involved in wild living. And man, he had a great time until his money was gone. About the same time his money was gone, a famine came into the land. He's broke. His friends don't want anything to do with him because he doesn't have any money now. He's got to get a job. And the only job he can find is feeding pigs. He's Jewish. Jews and pigs don't go together. But the man told him, I can't really pay you probably, but you can eat with the pigs. And so the Bible says that he fain would fill his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. But then you get to verse number 17. And I don't know what caused it. I don't know if it was a rainy night and he's sleeping in the pig pen and the mud and the stench. But the Bible says, and when he came to himself, he woke up. He looked around. And he said these words. It's in the Greek. He said, I'm an idiot. Come on. I'm an idiot. How many hire hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I'm going to go home. And I'll say to my father, Father, I've sinned against heaven. He had. And in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. He said, Dad, just let me be one of your servants. If you'll take me back, I'll work as a servant just to be able to be home. And so he got out of the pig pen and he started for home. Remember, he'd gone into a far country. It's just as far coming back. And I can see him, because when there were times I wanted favors from my parents, I would rehearse the speech in my head. Make sure it sounded just right. And so on the way home, he's going over this speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. And every few hundred yards, he'd go over his speech again. But every step brought him closer to home. And when he got within sight of home, Dad's on the porch. He's looking. The Bible doesn't say it, but I'd be amazed if his dad didn't pray for him every day. God sent my boy home. God, wake him up. Dad looks down the road. He'd been disappointed numerous times before, but he sees him coming. He said, I think that might be him. He walks like him. Son sees the house, sees a little stirring around on the porch. And says, let me get this straight. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more. Yeah, I got it down. And when Dad saw him and realized it was him, he took off running. You ever seen an old man run? It's an enjoyable sight. He took off running. And the young man who's rehearsed this speech 1,000 times now sees his dad coming. And he wonders, is he gonna run me off? What's going to happen? And Dad meets up with him and he grabs him and he hugs him. And the boy starts to give his little speech. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And Dad said, forget it. He said, hey, bring some new clothes. This guy stinks. He said, let's kill a fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son was dead and he's alive again. The Bible says he began to be merry. You know, the purpose of that story is just to remind us, no matter where you've gone, no matter what you've done, God is waiting. He's not going to make you do right, but when you decide to do right, he'll be the very first to meet you and say, welcome home, child. You know, people who are really trying to do right can do dumb things. Remember Peter? The Lord's at the Last Supper with his disciples. He looks around the table and he says, this night, every one of you is going to be offended because of me. And Peter goes, whoa, I don't mean to argue with you, Lord, but you got this one wrong. To the rest of this crowd, they might betray you. They might deny you. Not me. These guys, yeah, I wouldn't trust them either. I mean, John, he's always trying to get up close to you. Makes me nervous. He says, Judas, that guy carries a purse. I mean, that should tell you something. He said, but Lord, not me. This is Pete. Remember me? I'm the guy that walked with you on the water. I'm the guy on the mount who wanted to build the tabernacle so we could stay there with Moses and Elijah. Lord, I am the faithful one. You know, there's a verse I read somewhere about, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It wasn't long after that when the soldiers came and they led Jesus away. Now Peter was, he was faithful to his word for a while. He pulled out a sword and whacked a guy's ear off. But they led Jesus away, and now Peter sees this is serious. And somebody comes to him and says, hey, weren't you with him? No, I I don't know that guy. A little while later, they came and said, "You have that same Galilean accent. You're one of his crowd, aren't you?" He goes, "No, I don't even know him." And the third time, Peter cursed and swore. And he said, "I don't know him." And the rooster crowed just like Jesus told him it would. The Bible says Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Not long after, he said, I'm not qualified for ministry. John 21, he said, I'm going fishing. Not to get his picture up on the screen like some people would. He said, I'm going back to my old job. I don't think I'm qualified for ministry anymore. I'm done. They saw somebody over on the shore, and he hollered at him. He goes, did you catch anything? Nope. He said, well, cast your net on the right side. And they threw their net, and 153 fish were caught in the net. And Peter said, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. He jumped out of the boat, made his way to shore, and I'm sure he's rehearsing the same story. Lord, I was wrong. God, please forgive me. I shouldn't have been so proud. But before he could ever say a word, the Lord looked at him and said, Peter, lovest thou me? Yeah. Of course I do. Lord, I love you. The Lord asked him again, Peter, lovest thou me? Maybe he couldn't hear me. Lord, you know that I love you. And the Lord asked him again. Same question. But then remember, Peter denied him three times. And three times the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And the Lord said, okay, feed my sheep. And just a few days later, Peter stood up and preached. This guy is going to quit ministry. He stood up and preached, and 3,000 people got saved. And you follow him through the New Testament, he never did get perfect. But God used him to write two books in the New Testament. What are you trying to tell me? I'm trying to tell you that if you want to be used, God will use you even if you made a bad choice, even if you messed up, even if you felt disqualified, even if it seems like no matter what you've done, it's not going to work. Church, there's a possibility that any one of us could go astray. But God's promise is clear. If we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm not trying to give you a license to do wrong. I'm trying to give you some encouragement that God's not done with you yet. The Lord's not finished yet. There are still more that you can do. But you'll notice in every case, it was the rebel that had to come to God. In every case, it was the sinner that had to take the initiative. And so I want to encourage you tonight, if you're starting to wander away from the Lord, stop and come back like the prodigal did. If you find yourself in a position where you think, you know, I'm going to stay faithful to God and nothing's ever going to pull me away. Remember Peter, and you come to God in humility and say, Lord, help me to do what's right. If maybe there's something you know that God has for you and you've been fighting it for a long time like Jonah did, you just simply say, God, I don't want to be in the belly of the whale. I want to obey you. God, like the father of the prodigal son, is waiting for you to come. The song says, Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, come home, come home. Ye that are weary, come home. I want to encourage you tonight. Let's determine by God's grace, we're going to stay close. We're going to stay faithful. We're going to do right. But if perchance there's been some wandering, don't use that as a reason. Don't use that as an excuse. Don't convince yourself that you're not usable to God, because He is a God of the second chance. Father, I thank You tonight that You tell us in Scripture that if we'll come, You'll wash us white as snow. And so, Lord, I pray that in this invitation time, every single person would recognize that You want to use them and You're able to use them. Father, I ask Your blessing on this invitation. Keep your eyes closed. I want to ask just a couple of questions. How many tonight would say, you know, Brother Hal, I needed that message? There's been some things in my life, and I just wonder if maybe I've been disqualified. Maybe I have reached a place where God can't use me anymore, but I realize that the Lord wants to give me another chance. I needed to hear that message. Would you pray for me? I want God to use me. Would you raise your hand and hold it up high? Yeah, there's several of you folks. Thank you. You can put your hands down. There's some others that say, you know, as far as I know, I haven't gotten way, way away from God. But pray for me that I would stay faithful. Pray that I wouldn't get proud. Pray that I'd always be pliable and usable to my Heavenly Father. I needed to hear that message to be reminded that any of us could go astray. Pray that I would keep doing right. That's my desire. That's my prayer. Please pray for me. If you let me do that, raise your hand. Hold it high. Yeah, lots of us. God bless you. Thank you. Let's stand, please. You know, revival is simply a matter of recognizing that I'm not where I want to be and taking those steps to make things right with God. In this invitation time, I would encourage you, if you raised your hand, I would encourage you to come and do business with God. For some, it's maybe confession and forsaking sins. For others, it's just a dedication, saying, Lord, I want to do right. But you ask for prayer, and I'll pray, but I want to encourage you to follow up on that. Father, thank you tonight for every hand raised. Thank you for every life, every heart that you've touched this evening. Lord, I pray for those who maybe have felt like they made mistakes that are disqualifying. Lord, I pray you just show them that you're the God of the second chance. And then, Lord, for so many that said, I want to do right, I'm trying to do right, God, would you help each of us to not get caught up in things that pull us away from you? Bless the invitation, I pray, Heavenly Father. I pray those who should come would come. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.